Dr. Boylan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, firstly, how do our eating habits and diets impact climate change?
Yeah, that's a big question.
It is a big question.
We probably don't have enough time today, but to answer it, I think we really need to talk about food systems rather than diet, because our food just doesn't magically appear on our plate, right? So talking about food systems helps us better understand the impact of what we eat from paddock right through to what ends up on our plate. And so the implication which we read most about today is that of red meat production and consumption on greenhouse gas emissions. However, our food systems, which are characterized by intensive agriculture, long supply chains, surplus processing and packaging of food, consumption of processed food, too much food waste, etc., are all also degrading our water supplies and our quality and our soils and our land, increasing biodiversity loss and affecting many other really important components which keep us and our planet healthy. And so playing with all of these natural systems means that we're also playing havoc with our climate systems. So if we just take waste, for example, food waste, it could be represented as its own country. And if it was, it would actually be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter behind China and the US. And that's just one example. And as I said earlier, we don't have time to go into these in detail today. But by understanding the importance of the whole food system, we can begin to see the wider implications of our food on our climate.
Right, of course. And with climate change, of course, being a very real phenomenon right now, will there be a time, do you think, when it will directly impact our diets?
And the answer is that it is already.
Right.
And it has been for some time now. What will happen, though, is that these direct impacts are going to be more visible and more frequent. So climate change can directly impact our food system from storms, damaging crops and infrastructure, so blocking road access, for example, flooding, again, by damaging crops and food access. An obvious one, particularly here in Australia, drought, and of course the bushfires. All of these direct climatic events will impact quality and availability of food. And we know from the past this has had an impact on food price. You probably remember Cyclone Larry, which hit Queensland in 2006, and the impact that this had on our beloved bananas. The price of bananas reached $12 a kilo. So research shows, though, that when food price increases, people shift to buying cheaper and less healthy food. And so this is going to have an impact on our health. And the scary thing is that we're now beginning to learn more about the indirect impacts of climate change on food. We're now discovering that rising CO2 levels are affecting the nutrient profile of many crops. This is really disconcerting, as it shows that it's reducing the levels of really important nutrients in our crops, such as iron, protein, and zinc. And this is something that, you know, vegans and vegetarians must be aware of and think carefully about supplementing their diet. We're also seeing the nutrient composition of phytoplankton change due to rising sea temperatures. And again, this is really concerning given that phytoplankton forms the basis of the marine food chain. So you can see that the impacts of climate change on our food systems are huge and far-reaching.
Absolutely. Now, what are some of the ways that you think we can alter our diets to be more sustainable in the future?
Again, that's a really good question, and there's no silver bullet, unfortunately. And when we think about sustainability, I really stress the importance of considering environmental, but also economic and social sustainability. For example, you know, if we were to suddenly ban red meat, you know, we need to think carefully about the economic and social implications of that, given that here in Australia, only 6% of our land is arable, that is, can produce crops. And so until now, our focus has been on economic sustainability, and we definitely need a better balance. Otherwise, we'll never get out of the mess that we've created. And that might seem like a really big task, and many of us may be thinking, well, you know, what can I do? And unfortunately, we can all do something. Even the smallest of actions can have a huge ripple or butterfly effect throughout the entire food system. You know, so what can we do? We can look at history for starters. If you think back to a time when we had to embrace sustainability, for example, when we were hunter-gatherers, I think it's really important to look at indigenous food practices, as they have managed to survive tens of thousands of years on this land. We can learn from these practices and apply them in producing and harvesting our food today. And also going back more recently, for example, after the war, the advice in relation to food was to buy it with thought, cook it with care, serve what you need, save what we'll keep, eat what we'd spoil, and homegrown is best. And we can still apply these basic principles today. Now, saying all of that, we are in a different era with new threats to our food system. So we have to look to the future. We need to transform our entire food system. And this will require effort from everyone, from policymakers to engineers, economists, farmers, nutritionists, and consumers, just to name but a few. For example, policymakers can support populations consume healthy and sustainable diets in lots of different ways. For example, using fiscal strategies like taxes and subsidies.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, of course, what we're eating is important and our diet is important, but it's also about, you know, what's being produced and how it's being produced or mass produced. You know, it's very supply and demand, and you know, also about like whether too much is being produced and then wasted
and
not being consumed. But yeah, it's very interesting stuff. Do you think going vegan or vegetarian helps?
Yeah, this has become quite a hot topic in the recent probably year or so. Studies have indeed shown that going vegan could help reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And going vegan for 2/3 of meals could cut food-related carbon emissions by about 60%. So that's really not to be laughed at. And certainly red meat is getting a bad rap, not only because of its impacts on emissions, but because of its impact on resources like land and water. And indeed, many of us, particularly in developed nations, consume way too much red meat. However, lean red meat is important for our health, and it's a really important source of protein and iron. For example, in Australia, not many people know this, but we've got high rates of iron deficiency anemia among females. And given what I said earlier about climate change reducing the impact of protein and iron in crops, we need to be mindful of the health implications of being vegan or vegetarian. We need to be educated. And in addition, I've noticed that many vegan foods are highly processed and have excessive packaging. I think it's also really important to think about context. So many of us don't have the luxury of choosing whether or not to eat meat. The ability to make this choice can depend on culture, religion, and affordability, for example. And this is really important to think about because recent research has shown us that just simply reducing red meat consumption appears to have a greater environmental benefit than persuading a small proportion of the population to become vegetarian or vegan. And I know it doesn't sound sexy, sensational, or extreme. However, as a nutritionist, I can't stress the importance of a balanced diet. In fact, you know, Australian research has shown that the recommended dietary patterns in the Australian Dietary Guidelines are nutrient-rich and have the lowest greenhouse gas emissions, about a quarter lower than the average diet.
Yeah, right. Now, last but certainly not least, what are other food alternatives that are better for the environment?
Again, that's a really big question.
Yeah, sorry.
So, when you're thinking about the environment, so if we're not thinking about sustainability more broadly and economic and social sustainability, like I said, I guess it's, you know, looking to the past and looking at Indigenous practices, for example, and there's a whole lot of research around better ways of producing our food. But in consuming our food, I guess, again, like I said earlier, looking back at history, and keeping it simple, I think our food system has become overly complex. It was designed to feed the hungry following the wars, producing lots of calories. But now we have to think about nutrient-rich foods. So it's being mindful of what you choose to eat, enjoying your food, and just serving what you need, perhaps trying to grow your own produce. Knowing more about where your food comes from and asking those questions, you know, perhaps shopping at your local farmer's market if you're fortunate to have one nearby. Really just being mindful of what you consume and educating yourself. And I do believe there is a lot of miscommunication out there, and it's quite difficult, but hopefully it'll become clearer as time goes on.
Absolutely. Well, Sinead, thank you so much for joining us. It's been really great having you on the show to talk about this.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure.